This is Marketplace Money from APM. I'm Barbara Bogave. Every week, it seems some of you folks ask us for advice about how to talk to friends and family members about money problems. So we figured while we're doing our seasonal personal finance housekeeping, why not help you tidy up the loose ends in some of these very difficult situations? We've pulled in consumer finance expert Dayana Yoakum of The Motley Fool to lend a hand. Dayana, nice to have you with us.
Hi, Barbara.
It is such a cold-hearted concept to spring clean our relationships, isn't it? Could you make the case for why we should do this, though? Because I think most of us would just walk 100 miles out of our way to avoid even thinking about money issues in our friends.
Well, right. Talking about money, it has become like the conversational third rail. But you absolutely have to face these issues head on. If we're talking about money dust bunnies with friends, or if you're in a relationship, mapping out a plan with your spouse so that you are both on the same page about here's how we're going to direct our dollars in the near term. And we both agreed we're going to direct our money towards these goals in the long term. And therefore, we're going to be thinking about this, bringing consciousness to our spending at every moment. I suggest, sitting down and having your financial summit together quarterly works for companies. That way you can see, are we on track? Because you don't want to be surprised after a year or 2 years to say, wow, we really haven't saved enough for a down payment on a house, or we really aren't going to be able to send Junior to an out-of-state college.
Okay, forget about spring cleaning. Quarterly cleaning, order in the Danish like a corporation.
That's right, Danish and some lukewarm coffee.
Well, great. With that in mind, let's turn to our callers now. First up, we have a listener right here in Los Angeles, Viviano, and he posted on our Marketplace Money Facebook page. And by the way, that is a great way to keep in touch with us and maybe get on the show to ask your question. So Viviano, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, just great. Welcome to Marketplace Money. Now, I see from your Facebook post that you're financing your fiancé's college education. Generous guy. Tell us more. Tell us about your setup. Are you guys living together?
We are. I'm a 30-plus-year-old guy, we'll say. And while I have a pretty decent job taking care of my two kids, and at the same time, although she's not a kid, helping my fiancé get through school and, of course, daily life because she doesn't have a job, does take a toll and does make me sacrifice a little bit. And so that's really why I posted to the page to answer the question about who in my life is also affecting my paycheck, and she definitely is. I don't have to pay for everything, thankfully, but because I do make enough money, she can't get all of the payments that she would, that other people can get, I guess. She goes to Cal Poly now, and she transferred from a community college a couple of years back and is majoring in physics.
So that, I'm guessing, I don't want to pin you down, but I'm guessing that's a, couple thousand, $3,000 to $5,000 that you're...
It is per quarter, because right. They're on the quarter system. It can range from summer quarters from $1,500, which is not a lot, but in one shot it can be, up to fall and other quarters, which cost double, triple that amount.
And how are you doing? What do you do for a living? And how much of a hit does that feel like to you?
I do have a good job. It's definitely not unlimited. I'm a biomedical engineer at a hospital, and so I work on medical equipment. And my paychecks will be about that amount in total every 2 weeks. So when I have a $1,500, $3,000 amount, it can very quickly drain the reserves, if not completely, depending on, her workload and, if my kids want to go to mad scientist camp or whatever else they want to do.
Well, you have, there are two kids. That's quite a lot to carry.
It is. On one paycheck, it is, yes.
Huh. And just one more question before I'm gonna let Dayana loose on you. What is your fiancé's long-term career goal, and when can you expect her to contribute financially to your family?
That's a great question. depending on, what you guys know about physics or physicists,
which is very little.
Generally they like to think all day and jobs really don't come into the picture. She definitely wants to be a cosmologist to study the stars and astrophysicist to, map the heavens, I guess. And she doesn't plan because she's still going to be finishing her PhD and other things for years to come. We're looking at 3 to 4 years before she can start in the field and start bringing in a paycheck.
Well, Deanna Viviano, he's all yours.
Wow. Yeah. No, this is a really interesting situation, because if someone were asking me what to do about their kid that's in college and appears to be on their way to becoming a permanent student, I'd say, all right, eventually you're going to have to cut him off, right? But that said, she's not your child. She's your partner.
Yes.
She's your partner in life and money. And while you happen to be the breadwinner right now, you are both still, you're co-CEOs of your family finances.
I agree.
As co-CEOs, you've got to come up with a plan together, or else this festers and goes on for a long time. And in fact, you could potentially be digging yourself into a financial hole.
Viviano, have you started to have this conversation with your fiancé?
Oh, definitely. Especially when we get down to the bare bones, we tend to have the conversation more often.
Well, yeah, I am thrilled to hear that you are having this conversation. It's a difficult thing to do. And so if you've decided, yes, the sacrifice is worth it, both of you have, tuition payments should not come as a surprise. They're on the calendar. You should be planning for how much the bill is going to be, when it's going to come, and be setting aside money, if you can, to satisfy that debt. And I understand money's tight, so this might mean that she makes sacrifices as well. Is it possible that she could work part-time or over the holidays to bring in some extra money to be able to give you guys a little bit of a cushion and get you ahead of the curve here?
Deanna and Viviana, can we get down to the bare bones and get real here? Is this a sustainable financial model for you as a family?
Do you have emergency savings? What if something were to happen and you weren't earning an income for a while? Could you manage?
It is absolutely not sustainable. So we kind of pack and grind as we go along, get lucky here and there. Tax return season comes around, things like that that really help boost us. But I just think I've done a poor job of planning for those things that you mentioned. It's on the calendar, I should know.
Yeah, and these, you know, what you're going to look at is essentially your balance sheet. How much do you have coming in, and what are your must-pay expenses? What are the nice-to-haves, and what are the really do I need? Yeah, 1 billion gigabyte speed on
exactly.
Our internet connection, or all of those cable channels. So that is the reality check that everybody has to do. And first and foremost, you are a family unit right now, and you've just got to. You're going to have to adjust the plan. Maybe it's that she takes a lighter class load and you're extending the amount of time that it takes for her to get her degree. So look at the parts of the plan that can be adjusted.
Viviana, when are you getting married?
Oh, that's a great question as well. We are actually we were planning on doing that when she graduated. So this will very much...
The world's longest engagement.
That's correct.
That's okay.
I wish you good luck, and I hope that set you on a good course.
Awesome. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
And thanks for calling in and also checking in with us on Facebook, and I hope you write in again and tell us what happens, okay?
Definitely will. Thank you.
Take care.
Bye.
Well, romantic relationships aren't the only ones affected by money. We have another Facebook friend who wrote us about just a heartbreaking money problem, actually, she's facing with her siblings. Mary Beth is on the line from Atlanta. Hi, Mary Beth.
Hi.
Welcome to the show. So tell us about your brother.
Well, my brother, who is in his mid-40s, was diagnosed with a rare fatal disease about 7 or 8 years ago. Given 1 or 2 years to live, and is still with us, which is wonderful on almost every level. The only problem is he's kind of gone through all of his money. He can no longer work. 3 years ago, he had his last surgery, and the doctor said definitely no more than 6 months. He could make it 8 months if it's a miracle. And so he's still with us. And so he doesn't have any more money. He is trying to stay in his own house, which I want to support very much. But my sister and I, his twin sister and I, are supporting him now. And I sent him a budget a few months ago, and he filled it out and told me what he needed. And I didn't, make him show it to me. And now I'm kind of torn between judging every single purchase and feeling like I have the, sort of a right to judge, in a sense, versus being too controlling. And this is with somebody who I really love and who's an adult.
First of all, I am so sorry
Thank you.
And okay, and can you afford to do what you're doing?
We can. Well, for now we can. I've been trying to get a HELOC, a second mortgage, just to help with these expenses because I don't really have the cash flow. So I'm doing it from savings.
This is a home equity loan, of course.
Right, a home equity line of credit. And I think I'm going to get it. I've gotten the heads up, but I don't know how long that's going to last. It's not going to be a huge amount.
Sure. Now, when you say you want more control, is that because you just want to know what his financial situation really is, or is there some issue with how he spends money and how he handles his finances?
Probably both. I mean, he's not a particularly fiscally responsible person, and he certainly has been known to do some gambling. I don't think like addiction-type gambling, but like betting on sports games and things, and possibly some recreational drug use, and I just don't know. And so I feel like if I paid his utilities and took care of all of those things, he doesn't have a house payment, then I could say, okay, here's a couple $100 for food and fun, and that, you know, would be enough for a normal person. And right now I don't know how much he needs for his gas and his water and all of that.
But just to give us a context, can I ask you how much are we really talking a month? What are you laying out?
Currently, my sister and I are each sending him $800 a month. I send money on the first, and she sends it in the middle of the month.
So difficult. Deanna, what do you think?
Of course, you toss it over to me, right?
Deanna said to the previous caller was so good that maybe she could have this difficult conversation with my brother for me, and she could ask him to make that list about the nice to have, need to have, and all of that.
Well, first of all, I have to say you are an awesome sister.
Yes, I agree.
That is just amazing. And I'm sure he appreciates it. And he must understand that this money is not coming out of thin air. And so you've got to let him know that. And that in order for you to help him out, you need to do some planning on your end. And that opens the door to having this practical conversation. So we need to just get down to the nitty-gritty of managing his expectations and also your abilities, because you are dipping into money that is intended to support you in the future.
Correct.
And pulling money out of your house or retirement accounts, you know, we like to say that should be the last way that you get extra money, but I understand you're dealing with extraordinary circumstances. So tell him, I am happy to continue to help. What I need to do is figure out exactly how much I can afford to do it and what we're talking about. And so you have a right to push a little bit. You are supporting him. You and your sister are supporting him. I understand. And have you discussed what happens to the home when he's no longer living there?
Yes. He has a couple of children, and we will pay. My sister and I plan to pay ourselves back whatever we have spent. The question that we're struggling with now is what happens when we've gone beyond that and we're paying him money out of our pocket that we won't get back, that there's no expectation of getting back. How far will we go down that road? So we're trying to limit the monthly outlay at this point so that doesn't happen. Our goal would be for that to never happen.
Right. The other thing is broaching the subject of taking on the bill payments. Maybe it's a matter of saying, you know, I'd like to clear your plate of this.
That's how I plan to do it. You know, I think we can do this on set it so that it's automatic and you don't have to worry about making these payments. So if you do get sick and things, these will be taken care of. And that is sort of how I was hoping to approach it as a, let me do you this favor here.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right.
Mary Beth, I know that you're a divorce attorney also, and I'm curious, have you applied any of your experiences dealing with couples and their money to your situation with your brother and your sister? Does it transfer?
Absolutely. And when you were talking about managing expectations, that's a word we use constantly. I do a lot of collaborative divorce, and we are always talking about managing clients' expectations and having difficult conversations. And we go to seminars on difficult conversations. And I feel like I teach other people how to do this all day long and say it's going to be difficult, and this is how you're going to do it, and this is how you want to phrase it. But it's so much more difficult when it's your own flesh and blood and you've got to have that conversation.
So easy to say. So
much
hard to
easier
do.
To advise other people than it is to do it.
I wish you the best with this very difficult situation. And thanks so much for sharing it with us today.
Thank you so much for your help.
And thank you, Deanna. It's been such a pleasure to have you on the show, too.
Thank you. It's really great to talk to people about this topic because everybody wants to avoid it. You shouldn't, and it's not as bad to have these conversations as you think it's going to be.
Dayana Yoakum is a consumer finance expert with Motley Fool. And thanks again.
Thank you, Barbara. It was my pleasure.